To read the first seven verses tonight. Beginning in verse number one says, "Now, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Let's go to the Lord once again in prayer tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this evening that we have a privilege to enter into the house of the Lord. We do pray for Your blessing in this service. We pray that You would speak to our hearts. We ask that in Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, please go ahead and be seated. I want us to notice especially a phrase that is found in verse number 2. That phrase in the center of that verse says, "The same commit thou to faithful men." When we look at this book as a whole, we have an overriding theme of a coming desertion of the principles of truth that we sometimes would refer to as apostasy. Thus, in chapter number 1, we find that Timothy is told to get at it, for the best defense is a good offense. Notice verse number 6. He says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." One of the things we have to understand that is when we get at it and we are in the work of God, there are going to be hardships. How many have ever figured that out? There are going to be difficulties. Verse number 8 says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Verse number 13, he says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." There are going to be hardships. There are going to be false teachers that we must contend with. So there are many, many things that are out there that are seeking to destroy the work of God. Paul continues to exhort Timothy to dedicate himself fully to the task ahead of him. And I believe in chapter number 2 that we have read here in these verses, he gives us four analogies trying to illustrate the rigors of the ministry. Tonight, if you're saved and you're seeking to do something for God, you're in the ministry. Sometimes folks think, well, you have to have an REV on your name. You've got to have some kind of title. No, if you are seeking to do God's will in your life, you're in the ministry because God wants you to minister to other folks. We minister to God's people and we minister to lost people. And so we find here that there are these illustrations. The first one, I find in verse number 1 and 2, he describes as being a teacher. Being a teacher. And verse number 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." If we're going to teach, we must understand that we must have strength that only comes from our elder brother, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And so if we're going to teach, we must have the strength to do so. And you and I then must be able to pass that on to others. Paul charges him to teach others sound doctrine. He charges him to make sure he gives what he had received from him. In other words, Paul says, I give you sound doctrine. You're to take that and you are to teach it unto others. He wasn't to be an innovator of religious doctrine, but he was to what? Take it and give to somebody else. Sometimes we think, well, we have to have all these fancy thoughts about the Word of God. Well, that's where we get Harold Campings. There's where we find all these kinds of problems. We don't need that sort of thing. We just take what God says and pass it on. What I want you to notice most vehemently tonight in regards to all of this is that he was to teach it to faithful men. You can't teach much to unfaithful men because, well, quite frankly, they're not around to teach. And they seldom practice it. There's a saying that I learned many, many years ago. It was taught to me as we began the ministry of our school way back in, my goodness, can't remember the year, about 75. And that particular sentence is this: the teacher's life is the life of his teaching. So in other words, if you and I are going to be an effective teacher, then we must have character in our own lives to pass on to others. We can't just get up and preach and not practice it. You've heard the terminology, we got to practice what we preach. That be a very true thing. And so Paul here in writing to Timothy is saying, hey, listen, there is something that is very, very needful. And that is, you need to pass things on to faithful men. Now, if we're going to have an impact at Open Door Baptist Church in the lives of other people, then what is given from this pulpit must go into the lives of faithful people. They must receive it, take it, and use it. They cannot be unfaithful. I believe that faithfulness is the greatest character trait, maybe say alongside of honesty, that God is looking at. We find that God, as He talks about the rewards that are going to be given, He says, well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. Okay? Many years ago, I've told this story a number of times. We had two men in a church out of Seattle, and one man's name was Don, the other man's name was Dan. And both of them were bus men. Both of them had bus routes. And Dan would go out every week. He'd spend 2, 3, 4 hours every Saturday going from door to door, calling on his kids. And he just work at it, work at it, work at it. And the other fella, Don, he would do it from time to time. And maybe once a month, maybe once every 6 months. And hence we would find that Don's bus route would go way up and then it would go way down. I remember on a special Sunday one time he had 120. By the way, on a 70-passenger bus. And the next week he had 17. But that was his life. And you never quite knew if he was going to be there or if he wasn't. He might be there one Sunday, next Sunday not. And as a result, those whom he ministered to were not faithful either. Never really learned what they needed to learn. Dan, on the other hand, was very faithful, always there, always doing the work, always doing the job. And God blessed. Interesting, Dan never had as many total on one Sunday as Don did. But overall, he had many, many more. And normally would average on his bus between 60 and 65, 70 passengers every week. He just filled that thing up and just keep at it and keep at it and keep at it. And what we need to understand is God is looking for faithful men. That's what God wants. He wants people who are always going to be there and accomplish the job that is before them. Listen, if we have Sunday school teachers that come just when they feel like it, that's not much value. If we have them come just for Sunday school and don't stay for church, what have they taught their children? They've taught them to be unfaithful. Okay? If they come to Sunday school, but they don't come Wednesday night or Sunday night, they don't do this, they don't do that, what have they taught their children? They've taught them to be unfaithful. And so we need folks who are faithful. faithful to the services, faithful to prayer times, faithful to all that is available to them. And so here's this teacher, and what do? Commit that to faithful people. Secondly, notice in verse number 3 and 4, it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Here we find another analogy. First one's a teacher. The second one is a soldier. And what does he say to the soldier? Endure hardships. They're going to be there, but they must endure them. They must stick it out. A good soldier, when he's in battle, is going to have a lot of hardships. There's going to be times that they have to work day and night. There's going to be times they can't get sleep, but they keep on keeping on. Endure, is as used here, simply means to suffer together with someone. And so, really, soldiers of Christ, what do? Stand together with others, committed to the battle against Satan and all of his foes. We are soldiers in a battle. We must take full advantage of the armor that God gives to us. We find in Ephesians, he says, put on the whole armor of God. We'll not go into that tonight, but God shows us there the special armor, 6 different pieces. And then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. So a soldier, he is one who's going to endure hardships. Notice verse number 4. He is also one who must be single-minded. He says he's not going to entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Our objective isn't civilian affairs. We're in a warfare. Our objective and our affairs that we are seeking after are God's. The civilian things, if I can put it in that term, are provided for us by the supply and support groups. Let me put it this way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? All His righteousness and all of these things, what? Shall be added unto you. And so as a good soldier of Christ, we seek to do God's will, allowing Him to take care of the other stuff. That is what he wants us to do. That's what a soldier does. A soldier goes to battle and, listen, others are providing him with his supplies. The objective of the soldier is to do what the commander says and to make the commander look good. And that's exactly what you and I are to do as well. Notice verse number 5. If we're to commit ourselves or commit to faithful men, then we must have the right kind of a personality, if I can use that, the right kind of character. We're teachers committed to giving the Word of God to those who are faithful. We're like soldiers. There's difficulties. There are hardships. But notice also in verse 5, there's the athlete. It says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. An athlete striving, it's talking about he is contending in a game. Last night, I hardly ever watch sports anymore, just a little bit here and there, but I saw a little bit of the first game of the finals. And I was watching these guys on both of these teams, basketball finals for you who don't know and don't care, and professional if you care. And as I was watching a little bit, I saw these guys really going at it. They are striving. They're seeking to win the game. Every athlete, if he's going to be successful, must set his goal. Brethren, you and I, as God's people, as God's ministers, we who are in the ministry, there are goals to set. The Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, he says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He had a direction he was headed. Every athlete sets his goals. He submits himself to that goal. He is under discipline to himself. He is seeking to accomplish that goal in his life. We have some wrestlers in our church. I don't know if they do this anymore, but I used to kind of chuckle when I was in high school. the wrestlers was always trying to make weight. And all I ever seen them do, because fluids hold weight, they walked around spitting all the time. You could tell the wrestlers back in my day. They still do that, Kenny, or you guys spitters. And they just go around spitting all the time, trying to take off water, you know. Go out and work out good and sweat. I can drop a lot of weight in no time with sweat. But it's one of those things. They were just always doing that. Why? Because they were disciplining themselves, seeking to make a certain weight they could wrestle at. They also seek the crown. They're dedicated to wanting to win that particular thing. Every athlete must follow the rules. He says, strive lawfully in the self-discipline, because he is fearful, as Paul says to the Corinthians, of becoming a castaway due to a lack of self-discipline. Making sure he puts himself under some rigid rules in his life. So we find it's an athlete. But notice lastly in verse 6 and 7, as we'll consider tonight, he talks about the farmer. It says, the husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. How many know that farming is hard work? Today, they have a lot of machinery that didn't used to be. I can remember my father farming with horses. Doesn't seem like I'm that old, but I remember him taking the horses out, especially to pick corn. I can remember him grabbing one ear of corn at a time and pulling it off the stalk and throwing it in the wagon. And after an entire day of work, he would bring that wagon back to the shed and then have to unload that. And it was still on the ear, as a matter of fact. It was still on the cob. And compared to what they do today, it was a very small amount. But they did so much of it by hand, very hard work. Normally, he would be up at 4:30, 5 o'clock every morning. And after supper, he would go out in the late evening and do chores, which meant milking the cows again and feeding the different animals that we had. It's hard work. Must be done every day, faithfully, if he's going to enjoy the fruits of it, as it says in verse number 6. His eye must be upon the rewards at the end of the season. And that is what you and I are looking for. Hey, listen, let's stop and think about it. Let's put it in the context of Master Club. Many of you work in Master Club. What is the great objective that we have? The objective is that we can see a young child have the Word of God brought into their head and absorbed in their heart. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. If we're going to see good fruit in the lives of children, it's that Word not just gets into the mind, but it gets into the heart. And that takes a lot of dedication. It takes a lot of work. It's not just seeking a prize. It's not just seeking a badge. It is seeking that this child might have something on down later in life. Do you realize that if you have a child that comes for 2 or 3 weeks and you get one verse, let's say John 3:16, down in their heart, it well may be the thing that saves their soul. How important your job is. And how we need to understand that those meticulous little tasks, they seem like to us, of sitting there working with a child one-on-one is very, very important. It's extremely important. As you set your eye upon that prize of seeing that child come to know the Word of God and hopefully to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How we need to be that kind of an individual. He says, commit thou to faithful men. Not only folks who show up, but folks who are willing to then be faithful with what they have. Faithful with what is given to them. Faithful with the tools God has placed within our beings that we can pass that on. Hey, listen, this book is please don't misunderstand, a tremendous tool. It is God's Word. but it is a tool. It's a hammer, God says. It is a fire. God's Word is a wonderful, wonderful equipment that you and I have to be able to use for His honor and His glory. And so we have our eye upon the reward at the end of the entire thing. Let's stop and think about it. He says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. He says, stop and think about it. It's like a teacher who gives their life, because really a teacher's life is the life of his teaching. One who places their entire being into it. To be effective in the pulpit, to be effective in front of a class, to be effective with your child, you put your entire being into it. It's not a partial thing. It's everything that you have. And a teacher that commits it to those who are faithful. He said, listen, as a minister, it is one who is like a soldier. There are hardships. There is much to endure. There are battles to be fought. Many difficult battles to be fought. And we must endure them. He says, like an athlete, it is striving. It is keeping on, keeping on. It's not giving up. It's playing it right to the end. Speaking of basketball, a few moments ago, it's been many, many years ago, when I used to watch this stuff and be involved with it a lot more, I remember watching, I think it was a playoff game, and it was between, if I remember correctly, the Celtics and the Lakers. And it was back in the days of Magic Johnson and Kareem and all these guys and Larry Bird. And there was a score that I thought was astronomical. The Celtics were going to win the game. And I was a Laker fan. And here the Celtics, there's less than a minute to play, and they have 14-point lead. And I'm thinking to myself, there is no way that this is going to happen. It comes down to less than 20 seconds to play, and the lead is somewhere around 9 or 10 points. And I'm thinking to myself, this cannot happen. But that game taught me something. Don't give up. The Lakers won. I don't know how it happened. I can't remember all the details, but they won that game. I remember one time watching another game of baseball, and there was, I don't even know what the game was. It might have even been a World Series game. And there was a team that was the last of the ninth inning. They were up to bat. They were down by 6 runs, and they had 2 outs. And we had a guy visiting our house at that time, and he says, come on, guys. I don't even remember what the teams were. He says, there's only 2 outs. Now, when I think 2 outs, I think, you know, 1 out, this thing's over with. Well, guy got a hit. Run scored. Yeah, come on, there's only 2 outs. There was another hit. Another run scored. Do you know the team that was behind 6 points, they did not give up. They won the game. They kept at it, even though there was 2 outs. And so nowadays, if I see a ball game and there's 2 outs, I think, hey, there's only 2 outs. You know? And keep on going. We must strive. Keep at it. I believe that's the great lesson given to us by the athlete. Self-discipline. And then the farmer. Hard work. Very difficult work. Long, long hours. As they have all the things that are done that need to be accomplished. Emily's going home and tell her dad. I like to tease Dan. I tell him, you farmers of this modern era, you know, you work 3-4 months a year and then you go to Hawaii the rest of the time. And he always looks at me and he says, I wish I knew how they did it. Because it's not that way, is it, Emily? And I like to tease him, but I don't get it for it. It's long, hard hours. And it's very difficult work. And by the way, a farmer must be a self-starter. There's no clock to punch. There is you know, nobody you have to answer to other than yourself at the end of the year if you didn't do it. And so it's difficult work. God is talking here about you and I in the ministry and you and I being willing to give it our all. Oh, how we need to. Commit thou to faithful men. Are you faithful? Are you faithful? Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much that we have this wonderful privilege to study your word tonight. Lord, how glorious it is that through the ages there's been men that this has been passed on to. Men and women who've given it to others, who've given it to others, who gave it to still others and gave it to us. And Lord, that we might be found faithful right unto the end. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would work in every heart. Help us understand the great character trait that is needed in our lives is faithfulness. And Lord, we know that true faithfulness is seen most vividly when it's most difficult. So Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts and bless the fellowship to follow tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, thank you very much tonight. You've been a good congregation. Oh, shake hands with somebody.